I want to read the Word of God from the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 21. Of this chapter, and we're going to continue on into chapter 14 as well and finish at verse 10 of that chapter. So Numbers chapter 13, and we're reading from verse 21. The spies have already been appointed here in the earlier verses, and it's referring to them in the opening line. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Haman, Shisha, and Talmi, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of the grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the children of the congregation of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittite, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once, and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared, in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Amen. We'll end there at verse 10 of chapter 14. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake.
If you'd please turn over to Joshua chapter 14. We have been reading there in Numbers 13 and 14, and we will come back to that portion as well. But if you turn over to Joshua chapter 14, just want to take a moment and read a couple more verses here to do with the life of Caleb. Beginning at verse 6, it is this man Caleb that we want to think about this morning. Joshua chapter 14 verse 6 says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy foot have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." We know the Lord will bless those verses that we have read from that chapter as well. It is that phrase that appears at the end of verse 8 and also at the end of verse 9. And also here in this chapter, verse 14 as well, we haven't read as far as that. But again, you will find that phrase repeated 3 times in this chapter. And it's referring to Caleb wholly following the Lord his God. And it's interesting to notice, and we'll maybe mention this as we go along, the different individuals that make this observation about him. Because Caleb says it about himself, Moses says it about him, the Lord says it about him, and I think there maybe it is reasonable at the end of this chapter, verse 14, to say that it's Joshua who's also referring to it here, because it says Joshua blessed him and gave unto him this inheritance. And it may be that it's Joshua who is making the comments here. If not, it's certainly the Lord once again who's drawing our attention to the fact that Caleb is an individual who's wholly following the Lord. So this phrase is repeated a number of times and repeated by a number of different individuals about this man. But let's just take a moment and ask the Lord for his help as we come to the word of God. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word. We know that there is a blessing in the reading of the scriptures. And we pray that now as we come to consider thy word, that thou will open to us the word of God, and in turn open our hearts to thy word. We pray that thy word today will be received into heart and soul and mind, that it not only be heard with the outer ear, but, O Lord, heard with the inner ear as well. And we pray that we might learn today from thy word. Teach us, we pray, by thyself, by thy Holy Spirit, we ask. And we pray that we might know the Lord today, drawing nigh and applying the things of God to us. Give help in the preaching, I ask. And we pray that we might have all help to hear. I might have that added help to preach. For I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Caleb is introduced to us as one of the spies that was sent out from the camp of Israel into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. He's chosen as the representative of the tribe of Judah. And he, along with Joshua and 10 other individuals... are sent by Moses to go and search out the land and to bring back a report. One man representing each of the tribes. We're told that they were there for 40 days, searching the land, spying the land. As we have read as well, they cut down some of the fruit of the land and brought it back as a sample
of the richness of the land of Canaan. It was indeed, as was the testimony of them all, that was a land of corn and wine. It was a land of milk and honey. There was a richness and abundance that there was found in the land of Canaan. But as we know, Caleb was only one of two, along with Joshua, who were of a mind to go up into the land and to possess it, as the Lord had said they ought. The others brought back an evil report. The others brought back an unbelieving report. They didn't believe the Lord. They didn't believe that they were able to go up and possess the land. They saw the cities walled up to heaven. They saw the giants. They saw even the numerous individuals, and come to the conclusion that Israel were but grasshoppers in their sight, and that they would be better either dying in the wilderness or making themselves a captain and returning to the land of Egypt. And we read that it was Caleb who at that particular time spoke up. If you go back this time to Numbers chapter 23, it tells us there how Caleb spoke up and how he... Sorry, it is Numbers 13. I have the wrong reference down in my... Chapter 13, Numbers 13 and verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." He stilled the people. That suggests that there was some respect given to this man. There was some regard given to him as to who he was and the type of individual that he was, that when he spoke up there was a stillness that came over the people. They were willing to listen to him at least to some degree. And the words of Caleb are that they ought to go up and that they ought to possess the land, and that they were well able, not because of anything in themselves, but because of the Lord's help that would be given, that they could occupy this land and defeat the giants and possess it as the Lord had promised. Caleb also is remarkable because he is one of that very few in number who went through the wilderness, who actually entered into the land of Canaan, along with Joshua again, and it would seem as well some of the Levites. They were not part of the rebellion in the wilderness. They were not counted in among the people, so it would seem that the Levites, a number of them went into the land of Canaan as well, who'd been through the wilderness. But Caleb ended up being among that very small number who survived the wilderness and who went into the land of Canaan. And that brings us on through then to Joshua chapter 14 and this particular portion where he is looking for his inheritance. After many years of waiting and battling and struggling and overcoming the enemy, and now he's 85 years of age and he's looking for his inheritance. And in Joshua chapter 14 he comes to Joshua and he reminds Joshua of the promise that was made to him all those years ago, that he would have Hebron, and he's looking for his inheritance. And there is mentioned here again these words about him wholly following the Lord. They're mentioned in Numbers. They're mentioned in Deuteronomy as well, these sentiments of him wholly following the Lord. And we're going to look up some of those just in a moment. But this is a phrase that comes again and again to the fore with regards to Caleb. He's a man who's wholly following the Lord. And I want us to consider that for a little while this morning. I want you to consider first of all the evidence of this predominant feature in his life. It's interesting how it is expressed that he's wholly following the Lord, because remember that to an extent all of Israel were following the Lord in some way, because they had come through the wilderness, and part of the wilderness journey was the Shekinah glory that was upon the tabernacle, and every so often the glory of the Lord would move from off the tabernacle, and that was the indication to Israel that they were to pack up all of their belongings and that they were to move at the Lord's direction. and that they would follow that pillar of cloud until it settled in a particular place, and that's where they were to camp. And from what we read in Numbers, there were 40 different locations that were given. So over 40 years, somewhere on average of once every year, the Lord moved the camp of the children of Israel. So in a sense, all of Israel were following the Lord in that regard. And that when that time came and the Shekinah glory moved from off the tabernacle, and all of Israel would pack up and they would follow the Lord through the wilderness to wherever it was that he would pick and choose as the next location to pitch their tents. But the Bible here emphasizes about Caleb wholly following the Lord. There is a difference to Caleb in how he followed the Lord. There is something that is remarkable about this man. He stands out from among those others, not just because he was one of the spies that was sent, not just because he spoke up at a particular time and encouraged the people to enter into the land, but there's something else that is evident about this man, because he's described not just as following the Lord, but as wholly following the Lord. In one place, in at least the English Bible, although it is the same in the original, it's that he's following the Lord fully. There's six references to Caleb either wholly following the Lord or fully following the Lord. Three of them there are in Joshua chapter 14, where we have already mentioned and been reading. If you look also at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, and you will find here the one that's slightly different in our English Bible, but it's the same words that are found in the Old Testament original. Numbers chapter 14 verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So here's the Lord speaking about him, and he says, and he hath followed me fully. And it's exactly the same form of words as otherwise translated, he's wholly following the Lord, his God. But it's just changed this way in our English translation. He's fully following the Lord, or he's wholly following the Lord. Numbers 32 is one of those other places where you'll find it, just to complete the set of references. Numbers 32, and it's verse 12. And again, it's referring to the fact that Caleb and Joshua did not perish in the wilderness. And here it puts this phrase together with both of these men. Numbers 32 verse 12. Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So Joshua is included here at this particular time in this statement. He's an individual as well who's wholly following the Lord. Deuteronomy 1:36 is the last of the references, just to complete the six of them, so that you're aware of them. And again, it's expressing the similar sentiment to what we've just been reading there. See of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. So there's those six references that are found in those chapters regarding Caleb. He's a man who's wholly following the Lord. He stands out, therefore, from all of those others in the camp of Israel. One time it's Joshua included there as well, as an individual who's wholly following the Lord. He's certainly a man who knows the Lord. And it says that he's wholly following the Lord, his God, or as his own testimony is in Joshua 14 and verse 9, where he's speaking to Moses, and he says, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. Joshua is actually repeating there what Caleb has said himself. He doesn't disagree with what Caleb's own testimony has been, because at the end of the previous verse, you have that statement made by Caleb himself, I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Joshua knows this man well enough that in the next verse, he repeats it back virtually verbatim. There's no question in Joshua's mind as to whether this man is wholly following the Lord or not, or that he's using these words in a wrong way, or in a way that he could never apply to himself. Joshua uses the words back again. Now, what was it that made Caleb to be the man that wholly followed the Lord? Well, there could be many reasons that are brought forth. I just want to leave one with you this morning. Caleb is a man who enjoys the spirit of adoption. And you'll immediately realize that's a gospel term. It appears in the New Testament. But it would seem from what we learn of Caleb that he was not the natural descendant of the tribe of Judah. He was not a Judahite by birth. From what we glean from the word of God, this man has been brought in among the children of Judah. He has been brought in and given a position among the children of Judah. This man has the spirit of adoption, and he is enjoying it and experiencing it. And because of what has been done for him in this regard, here is a man who in turn then is wholly following the Lord. And you see, that brings it then home personally to each one of us with regards to wholly following the Lord. It's not a matter of just being in a general company who may claim in some way or other they're following the Lord. But that individual who knows what it is to the spirit of adoption, to be brought into Christ, to be counted among one of the Lord's people, to be redeemed by precious blood, to have the work of grace in our heart and in our soul, we are those who experience the spirit of adoption. We belong to the Lord. We have been brought into his family who were outsiders and who had no claim and no inheritance and no right. And we have been brought in to the Lord. Well, if that so influences Caleb's life to follow the Lord and to follow the Lord fully, should that not also then be the result in our lives as well? If we have known the spirit of adoption, should we not then too wholly follow the Lord? That which the Lord has done for us, when we think about being brought in and counted among the Lord's people, ought we not then to be those who wholly follow the Lord? Not just in some casual way, as we've been thinking there about the Israelites all following the Lord through the wilderness, but specifically, particularly, wholly following the Lord, fully following the Lord, whether it's the Lord that says it, whether it's Caleb says it of himself, whether it's Joshua that testifies to it as well, that there's something remarkable, outstanding about our lives as well, and we are those who wholly follow the Lord. If you notice there in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 14, it says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite unto this day. Well, if you search that name, the Kenzite, in the Old Testament, you will discover that it's an Edomite name. It's an Edomite name. We can go back to Genesis. Maybe we shall. Genesis 36. And look at two verses here in this chapter, Genesis chapter 36. And it appears there in verse 11, refers to the sons of Eliphaz, who were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. And this is the name that the Kenzite comes from there, that's referred to with respect to Caleb. Verse 15 as well, it says, these were dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Jephu, Duke Kenaz. So this is the root from which this name comes, and here's Caleb identified with this name in Joshua chapter 14. And as I say, if you look at trace the name and look at it as to its source and its root, it suggests to us that it is an Edomite name. Here is a man who was not a natural Israelite. Here is a man who was brought in among the children of Israel. There's something else that would suggest that to us. Joshua chapter 15. If you turn there on verse 13. Well, maybe we'll take verse 12 and 13 of this
because it's referring there in verse 12 to the inheritance, the west border. Joshua 15 verse 12, the west border was to the great sea, the coast thereof. This is the coast of the children of Judah, round about according to their families. Full stop. And then a new paragraph begins in verse 13, and it says, "And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron." So it comes there to the end of verse 12, and it has already told that this is the inheritance of the tribe of Judah. This is what the Lord has given to Judah all around, to all the families of Judah. And then it tells us with a new paragraph, a new section that starts in this chapter. It adds in the details about Caleb and his inheritance among the children of Judah. And therefore there is something remarkable about the way it is set out there in Joshua chapter 15. Having already completed the statement about the families of Judah receiving their inheritance, then there is this added detail in how Caleb was given a part among the children of Judah. Why would it put words like that if he was a natural descendant of Judah? He would have an inheritance by right. He would be among the families of the tribe of Judah. He would have been included in the earlier sections there that speak about the families of the tribes of Judah. But this man, if it is correct that he's got an Edomite name, and he's not a natural descendant of the tribe of Judah at all, but he's a man who has come in and has experienced the spirit of adoption, then that explains why that statement is put there in chapter 15 of Joshua verse 13. Caleb is given an inheritance among this tribe. So he is an individual who has been brought in. Brought in, now counted among this tribe. Even reaching the place of prominence where he begins to represent this tribe as one of the spies. But is that part of the reason why he is a man who is wholly following the Lord? Here's a man who has been brought in. Here's a man who's experienced the spirit of adoption. And as a result, we read of one who is wholly following the Lord. And may we indeed wholly follow the Lord. And be like Caleb. So there's the evidence that is here to be found. I want us to think a little further here of the details that are given with regards to Caleb wholly following the Lord. We mentioned the fact that there are six references there where it mentions Caleb wholly following the Lord, or fully following the Lord. Well, there are six outstanding features that come to the fore when you consider Caleb in these chapters that we have briefly been referencing and mentioning. There's particular things that are observable, definable, that you can draw and out and notice and consider and say, here's some of the features of a man who is indeed wholly following the Lord. We'll go back there to Numbers chapter 14, for I don't think we could start anywhere else than notice Numbers 14 and verse 24. "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land." Caleb is a man who has another spirit with him. The Lord is with him, in other words. The Holy Spirit is with him. This is not his own spirit. Any resolve that he had, any courage that he had, is not coming from himself. It's not because of the type of man that Caleb was. It's coming because he has another spirit with him. The Lord is with Caleb. Caleb knows the Lord. Caleb is an individual in whose heart and life the Spirit of the Lord is dwelling. The Lord is with him. There's another spirit. And when you think of how the natural spirit of the human heart has evidenced itself with regards to those other spies, even to the people, because when they heard the false report, they believed it, and they were they did turn on Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb as well. That's the natural spirit that was in
those that were in the camp of Israel. The natural spirit to turn away from following the Lord, not to go through with what God had told them and commanded them. Instead of going up into the land, they want either to die in the wilderness or to make a captain and return to the land of Egypt. That's the spirit that was in them naturally. But Caleb has another spirit with him. Another spirit that overrules the natural spirit. And if we are ever to follow the Lord fully or wholly, we must have the power of the Holy Spirit. There must be that overruling of our own nature and our own spirit, the natural inclinations of our own heart and our own nature. All of that must be overruled and suppressed and overcome because we have another spirit with us, just as Caleb had another spirit with him. And we'll never follow the Lord in any other way. But staying there in Numbers chapter 14, another mark that you can notice with regards to Caleb is that he had a greater love for God and a greater fear of grieving God than others had. You see, this spirit that he had made him sensitive to grieving God. It made him to be a man who had a love and had a devotion to the Lord. If you look at Numbers 14, verse 8, this is what he has to say. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. That's what Caleb saw it to be. He saw it to be rebellion against the Lord. Did any of the rest of them say that? Did anyone else speak up and say, this is rebellion against the Lord? They just thought it was being practical. It was being pragmatic. Let's not go up. We're going to endanger everything that we have and all of those that are within our families and all the rest of it. If we go up into this land, we're going to be devoured by the land and those that are in it. Let's turn back. It was only Caleb who spoke up and said, this is rebellion against the Lord. If we do not do this, if we do not go on, if we do not act as the Lord has instructed us to act, then it is rebellion against the Lord. Caleb had that sensitivity of heart. We read there as well in chapter 14 of Numbers in verse 6, how that he and Joshua, they rent their clothes as a sign of the dismay and the grief of heart over what has been said and what has been suggested. It is often an action that is associated with grief, with death. And somebody overcome with great grief of heart, they would rend their clothes. Well, here's Caleb and Joshua rending their clothes at the suggestion of turning around, rebelling against the Lord, and not going up into the land of Canaan. Is it not the mark of a man or woman wholly following the Lord that they're going to have that sensitivity about rebelling against the Lord? They're going to see things in that particular light. Others might look at it and speak practically or pragmatically or whatever, but that individual wholly following the Lord is going to see it for what it is. It's rebellion against the Lord. It's something to have grief of heart about when we do not obey the Lord and when we do not follow him. We'll take two others and bring them together. Caleb was a man of faith and a man of obedience. He knows it's right to obey the Lord and to go forward and to possess the land. He believes the promise from what we've already read there in Numbers 14. He believes, if the Lord delight in us, he says. Well, he's not suggesting it there that somehow it's a doubt. In fact, it's an old... I hasten to step into the English teacher's shoes here, but I understand there is an old use of the word if. It really could be the word since, and certainly that is how it appears in the New Testament. I take it to be here in exactly the same. It's not that Caleb is introducing a doubt here. It's not as if he's wondering, oh, does the Lord really delight in us, and if he does, no, if we just understand it in that way. Verse 8 there started off with the word since the Lord delights in us. He's going to take us up. He's not doubting it. Caleb is a man who believes it. He's convinced of it. He's saying and acting, and all that he has done is on the basis. He knows the Lord delights in him. Here's a man who's enjoyed the spirit of adoption. He knows the Lord delights in him and in Israel. And therefore he is a man of faith. He believes this to be the case, and he's ready to obey. He's ready to go up into the land. There may be giants, there may be cities walled up to heaven, there may be all of these things, but as he says there in verse 9, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. He's not going to introduce a doubt at the beginning of verse 8 and then in verse 9 make such an emphatic statement that the Lord is with them. He's convinced of this all along. So he's a man of faith. He's a man of obedience. He's a man of courage. Like others, he knows there's the giants in the land. He has actually seen them. He's just not heard a report. He has actually seen them. If you go back there to chapter 13 of Numbers, the last verse, verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so were we in their sight. He actually seen them along with the other spies. They actually laid eyes on these giants, and yet Caleb is the man who's willing to go up. And there's that courage about him. He's not going to run from the giant in the opposite way. He's going to go up. And when you go over there to Joshua chapter 14, chapter 15 again, we read about the time when, it's verse 14, it says, and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak. Having entered into the land and got his possession in Hebron, he drove out the giants. There's many a giant about today. When you look out into the world and the enemies of the church and the cause of God, they seem to be like giants. Is there a way of overcoming them? Is there a way of driving them out? There is. If God's people wholly follow the Lord, we can drive out the giants. That is how we drive out the giants. That's how we overcome the giants. It's by wholly following the Lord, wholly committed to the Lord, wholly consecrated to the Lord. There's steadfastness in Caleb as well. 45 years later, when we get to Joshua there, he's got the same spirit and he has got the same zeal. It hasn't waxed, it hasn't waned in any way as he has journeyed through the wilderness and all of the experiences of that wilderness journey. He's entered into the land and he's still of the same spirit and he's still of the same mind. And there he comes to Joshua. And he draws attention to the fact that all these years have indeed gone by. And in chapter 14 of Joshua, verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And then verse 10, and now... So he's speaking about all those years, 45 years earlier. And he says, that's what was in my heart then. I went as one of those spies, and we've noticed there in Numbers the spirit that was in him, a spirit of wholly following the Lord, a man who had courage and to speak up and who was determined to go through. But then Joshua 14 verse 10, he says, and now. Now he's bringing it right up 45 years later. And he's speaking, here's it now. Caleb's not a man living on a past experience. He's not looking something away back years ago that happened in his life or the Lord did for him and hanging on to that and clinging on to it. That happened. But Caleb can say, and now. Here's how it is right now. And all these years have gone by. And in verse 10 there he says, "Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." Surely, those little words, "and now," are worth noticing when they're repeated twice in the verse. "And now." He hears how it is now. And I wonder this morning, how is it with us now? How is it with us today? Not last week or last month or last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever. How is it now? How is it today with us? Are we following the Lord? Are we wholly following the Lord? Or are we just drifting along in a crowd? May we be like Caleb and be able to say, "And now, here's how it is now." At this very time. One final thought, briefly. And that is the outcome in Caleb's life of wholly following the Lord. There was no loss on Caleb's part. There were times when he stood in a very small company. There was times when there was only him and Joshua. And Moses and Aaron were on their side. But against the other spies, against the whole camp, they were a very small number. But there was no loss. In the end, there was no loss. Caleb reaped a rich harvest of wholly following the Lord. I'll mention these very briefly and we'll come to a conclusion. His life was preserved. The most basic one of all. The very thing that the other spies feared would happen to them. Happened to them in the wilderness. But Caleb is the man who enters in. And as we've noticed there in Joshua 14, he acknowledges the Lord has kept him alive. The Lord has kept him alive. Verse 10. Joshua 14, verse 10. "The Lord, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive." That's also emphasized. We'll not just turn to it in Numbers 26. And it's that chapter to do with the numbering of Israel. And there is there the thought about all those that had died in the wilderness. A whole generation had died in the wilderness and passed away. See of Caleb and Joshua and some of the Levites. Following the Lord kept Caleb alive. It was the very best thing he could do. It might have seemed to endanger his life at the time because the people were going to turn on him and Joshua and Moses and Aaron. It might have seemed at the time it was a hazardous thing to do, but in the end, it was the wisest course to take. And so it is with us. It's the wisest, it's the safest course to take, to follow the Lord and to follow him fully. Caleb was spared the stoning. That was mentioned there in Numbers 14, how the people turned and they were going to stone them. But the Lord preserved him. The Lord preserved him. And wholly following the Lord can preserve us. But he also received this inheritance in the land of Canaan. This land of milk and honey. The very best that God had prepared for his people. Caleb had a goodly portion. So good was it that out of this portion that he was given, he could in turn give to others. So not only did the Lord bless him, but he became a blessing then to others. Hebron, as we know, was the very focal point of that inheritance that Caleb was given, but Caleb gave it away. It became a city of refuge. It became a city of the Levites. Here's this man who is brought in with the spirit of adoption in among the tribe of Judah, and he's given this inheritance, this whole area around Hebron, and he turns around and he gives the city and its suburbs away because it becomes one of the cities of refuge. So abundantly has the Lord blessed Caleb that he in turn becomes a blessing to others. And the best way that we can help others, serve others, is to wholly follow the Lord.
because in turn the Lord will bless our souls and we will be a blessing to others. Whether it's our own family, whether it's our neighbours, whether it's a congregation, whether it's a land and nation. If we follow the Lord will in turn bless and we will become a blessing. Caleb also gave of what he had to Aksa. In Joshua 15, there we read about that plea that she made and her husband, how they came and looked for the blessing of the springs. And out of the abundance that Caleb had, he was able to meet that need too. And the Lord can make us a blessing to others. And the best way to be that is to wholly follow the Lord. One final thought with regards to Caleb and the outcome. That's the legacy that he left behind. Turn over to 1 Samuel 30. And with this we'll conclude. Do you know that in subsequent generations there was part of the land down round Hebron that took the name Caleb? And you read about it here, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 14. We'll just take the verse, not so much worry about the context, or we just want this little piece of information. It says there, "We made an invasion upon the south of the Kerethites and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire." Now all of that's down round the territory of the children of Judah, and it's down round Hebron. If you want to focus in on a particular place. And here's this. It's the slave, the Egyptian slave that was left behind that David and his men found. And he's telling them here of what they have done. And he mentions this place by name. We made this invasion upon the south of Caleb. So there's a place that takes the name Caleb, as well as an individual that has the name. You know the best legacy that anyone can leave is that of having wholly followed the Lord. That's the very best legacy anyone can leave. Because the blessings of that will continue on. Long after an individual has departed this scene of time. The outcome, the fruit, the benefits, the blessings of having wholly followed the Lord will trickle down through generations. And Caleb is such a man. And may we be those who wholly follow the Lord. And maybe even today we need a purpose to do that afresh. And say, as of now, as of this day, we are those. And we want to be those who wholly follow the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that we might indeed learn from thy word today and find instruction in it. Lord, give us a heart that wholly follows thee. In an evil day, in a day, Lord, of carelessness and indifference, in a day even when many seem to turn back and do not want to go up to possess that inheritance that the Lord has given us, we pray that we might be like Caleb. Grant thy blessing to us today. And may even this day we be able to speak in the present tense of wholly following the Lord. Apply thy word. Part us with thy fear and favour, we ask. Grant us thy abiding presence throughout this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.